there's, the truth is really today, folks, and I'm not being critical, and I'm certainly not trying to come across as negative, but the truth is today that the church or Christianity has been dumbed down so that the teachings and the practices of the church today have very little emphasis on obedience. The clarion call today is faith and love. And by the way, those are so very important. And I don't deny that at all. But there's barely a whisper today of obedience, of following God closely and doing what the Scripture says. It's really just kind of an easy believism. Well, if you'll just kind of love God and have faith, then life will be great. No, we have to learn to follow with obedience. It's kind of like we're just kind of throwing something out there that's appealing so we can get people to come in and sit in the pews. In actuality, we can preach that message and we can get people into the pews. But what have we done? Have we actually brought them into the kingdom of God? Helped them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. John said in 1 John chapter 2, he says, if we say, I know him, but keepeth not his commandments, then we are a liar and the truth is not in us. Simply put. So if we fill the pews with imposters, what have we done to build the kingdom of God? We've done nothing at all. The reality of it is we've done significant harm to those people. Those individuals, because easy believism never brought victory to anyone's life. A life of disobedience has never created a victorious life for that person. And it's certainly never given anybody any kind of lasting and eternal faith. The truth is with no fruit, it lends to the idea that there's no root. And Jesus, and I know a lot of, we've heard it said time and time again, well, who are we to judge? Well, you know, Jesus said you can tell them by their fruit. That's not judging. And it's, by the way, I'm not saying just look at everybody else. Look at ourselves. Is there fruit in my life? Is there fruit that proves that there's a root in Jesus? That's the question. So John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruits. So when a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved, it's not going to be the same old. It's not going to be just as it was in the past. It's going to be different. Not only have we received the forgiveness of sins and been placed in the family of God, but we've also been given a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's not the same old, folks. A life after meeting the Lord Jesus Christ should become very fruitful. It should be a life that produces obedience. I want to show you today one such life. If there ever were a person whose faith resulted in obedience, it was Noah. We find him in Genesis chapter 6. Noah's actions illustrated not only his worship of God, not only his walk of God, but it illustrates his works for God. We find it in chapter 12, or rather chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth. You know what God's saying? He says, mankind has become so wicked, so far from me, that I'm going to put it away. I'm going to destroy it. But he's not going to destroy every person, because there's one special person, and that's Noah. Notice at the very end of verse 9, it says, and Noah walked with God. You see, Noah had a genuine, life-changing walk with God. Therefore, God says, hey, I'm going to share some truths with you, Noah, about what I'm about to do, what my actions are going to be. And by the way, let me just say this. When we truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, We are actually privy to truths that the rest of the world doesn't know. Now, you may not understand that. But we have, once we come to the Lord and we have the Holy Spirit living within us, we have the ability to understand things from God's Word that the unregenerate mind cannot understand. The Bible puts it very clearly in 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You know what God's saying? It says, when you're lost, yeah, you can read the Bible and you can learn the facts and you can remember scriptures and things like that, but there are certain truths you're just not going to grasp. But when you become a Christian, you find things out from God that you otherwise would not know. Noah was a child of God. He was in a position to know God's truth. And so God gives him some specific instructions. Notice verse 14. He says, Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And so he's telling Noah, he says, I've got a plan. I'm going to need you to do some things. And then in the next couple of verses, he details with great description what he expects of Noah. He's given Noah some insight, if you will, into what he wants. And then he gives him insight into what he's going to do. Notice verse 17. He says, and behold, this is after he's described to him what his job is going to be. He says, behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. You see, he's letting Noah in on his actions. He's telling him what's going to happen, but he's already told Noah, you got a job to do. You're going to have to build a boat. Now, here's our first point and the first principle that we have to understand about obedience. Obedience is expected of us even when it doesn't make sense. Try to put yourself in Noah's shoes for a moment. He lived in what was known as the antediluvian age. Okay, it's the age between creation and the flood. It was an age where it was a period on earth where the earth was irrigated by a mist. Okay, there was no rain. There was a canopy of moisture that hovered over the earth, over the land, that kept a continuous level of humidity, if you will, that was perfect. And it was appropriate for all vegetation. So it was just a sustained moisture, if you will, that was needed upon the earth. And so, in other words, it had never rained before. Noah's put in a position, not like we were today, where it rains one day and then it's dry for a few days and we pray, and then another rain comes and it's sporadic. Noah's in a position, he doesn't even understand that. He's never seen that. He doesn't grasp that. And God's telling him to build a boat. Think about that. Think about the position that puts Noah in. Build a boat for what? And on top of that, it furthermore, Noah didn't live near any bodies of water. He wasn't by the ocean or the sea or any rivers. Rivers were not within miles. The Bible tells us that it was between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers, but it was way out in the middle on dry land. He's surrounded by dry land. It's never rained before, but yet God says build a boat. It had to be so illogical to Noah. It just didn't make sense. Build a boat, Noah, but not only that, but a big old boat. And you're going to load a boat of wood, by the way. And you're going to load two of every species in here, including termites. That can't make sense. That can't make sense. But in spite of it being totally ridiculous to his mind, I'm sure, yet Noah was a true believer, and all he needed was God saying, do it. That's all he needed, just the word of God telling him to do it. And that was enough to bring him to action. We find that over in Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of Noah, and it says that he being warned of God of the things not yet seen, he was moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. That's what faith is, folks, is believing and doing when we have really not seen any evidence. That's what faith is. That's where we get in trouble today. We think everything has to be proven. Everything has to be explainable. Everything has to be able to work out on paper in our society. It has to be, there has to be some science behind it if we're going to believe it and practice it. And friends, that's not faith. God expects us to have faith, to trust and believe in spite of not seeing any evidence. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. You and I have to just believe whether it makes sense or not. And God's not going to make sense most of the time. Why? Because he's supernatural and we're just natural. Our natural, as natural beings, we're just not going to grasp all the supernatural things that take place around us. True faith and obedience does what you don't understand. I don't know how a brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk, but I had milk on my cereal this morning. You see, I don't have to understand. I don't understand electricity, not even remotely. I don't know how you flip that switch and all the way across the room the lights come on. I don't know how that Royce understands. I don't understand it, but I flip the lights on every morning to get out of bed. You see, you don't have to understand everything about God either. You don't have to understand about everything he says for us to do. Just do it because that's what he says. Just about every believer that you find in the Bible gained victory by doing things that didn't make sense to them. I told Cooper this week, we were having a discussion about some things going on in his life, and I said, you know, Christians do weird things. That's what's expected of us. It doesn't make sense to the world. Christians do odd things that don't line up with the world's thinking, okay? It's just that way. Victory after victory is experienced in our life and is experienced in the life of the believers you read about in the Bible from simply doing things that are unconventional. Things that don't line up with the rest of the world's thinking. The walls of Jericho, if you go back and read in Joshua, they fell to the ground when God's children marched around the wall 7 days and then blew trumpets and shouted loudly. That's kind of strange, is it not? But it happened, and there was victory. Daniel was willing to face a den of lions rather than to stop praying to God. That just doesn't make sense, Daniel. Why didn't you just stop praying? Well, it worked out really well for him. He had a victory. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to go into the fiery furnace rather than to bow down and worship a man, King Nebuchadnezzar. Worked out real well for them. Didn't make sense to anybody else. That stuff just doesn't make sense. And you and I are going to experience victories in our life if we will be obedient to things that are strange to us. How can you give but yet have more? That doesn't make sense. But yet we do it all the time, and God proves time and time again. That's the way it works. How can you have a more peaceful life if you love your enemies and you're kind to those who are hateful to you? I don't know how that works out, but it does work out for a more peaceful life. How can you abstain from so many things that the world says brings happiness, but yet at the end of the day, you still end up happier than the world? It doesn't make sense, but it works that way. It's when we obey God in spite of whether it makes sense or not that we experience the true victories in life. And it also proves that we're believers. You see, it shows that we're not imposters. We say we're believers and we do as Christ would say for us to do. And so it substantiates our faith. It says that's this one, this guy's a real deal. You can tell by the obedience in his life. The Bible speaks of a people who say they are Christians and don't obey the Lord, and it calls them abominable. You find it in Titus 1:16, one of my old memory verses. It says that they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. You see, they say that they love God, they profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him. In other words, their works don't line up. I don't want to be described like that. I don't want anybody to be able to sit back and say, or even Satan, sit back and say, well, look at old Chris. He says he's one of yours, God. I don't see anything in his life that proves it. I don't want that to be said. The Bible says in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous unto you. That's how I want to be described. It says, well, old Chris, he says he's a child of God, and you know, I kind of know he must be because he follows God. And his commandments are not grievous unto him. You know what that means? Commandments are not grievous to us. In other words, it's saying they're not a burden to us. We're not like, oh no, I have to be nice. Or, oh no, I have to shut my trap and stop gossiping. Oh no, I have to give. Or, oh no, I have to be honest and kind and compassionate. You mean I have to do all those things? That's what it is when it's grievous, you see. Or on the other hand, when they're not grievous, you say, you know what? God, I get to obey you, and I get to experience the victories and the blessings of being kind and closing my mouth and giving and being honest and whatever, compassionate and kind. Jesus tells us in John 14:21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And watch this last promise. And I will manifest myself to him, he says. You know what that manifest simply means? To reveal himself, to make himself known, to bring into view or focus, to declare plainly. You know what God's saying? You obey me. You've proven your love to me when you do that, and I already love you, he says. But I'm going to reveal myself to you. I'm going to manifest myself. That verse is a formula to knowing what God wants for our life. God says, I'll make myself known. I'll tell you things that you need to know. I'll guide your life. God will reveal himself in a greater way contingent on our obedience. Folks, that's pretty good. It gets gooder all the time. Notice this. It's not a hit and miss obedience that brings God's blessings. It's a lifetime of obedience. Noah, after having been instructed by the Lord to build the ark and how to build the ark, then he spent an estimated, we don't know exactly, we know there's a 120-year gap in there somewhere, but how long he was building the ark, we don't know, but we know he spent decades at least, probably 100-plus years of building that ark. It wasn't a sprint for Noah, it was a marathon. So it doesn't make sense. God, you're going to make me, you want me to build an ark on dry land. It's never rained before. I don't even know what that is yet. And a big ark. And all of this you want me to do? Okay, I'll do it every day for years and years and years and years. All of those years, Noah gathered material, got his saw out, got his hammer out, got his nails, whatever the building procedures were at that time, and he did it day after day. Sometimes we think that just one good act of obedience will do us for a long while. Well, I did this, well, I'll be fine for a little while, and I'll pick up and be obedient again later. No, God says, I want you obedient all the time. I want you to wake up every day saying, I'm going to do what you want for me, God. Day after day, Noah gathered material and hammered and nailed and sawed and did whatever he needed to do. And it wasn't easy. And you know he must have grown weary. You know he must have at times got so very tired. But he stayed at it because he was a child of God. And then watch this, folks. It all began to pay off the day it started raining. He didn't know how it was going to all play out, but he knew that this was different. And so what God told me over 100 years ago to do, my obedience day after day, he's probably saying, you know what, I'm glad I listened to God. And then as the flood waters got deep enough to raise the ark off the ground, he probably said to himself, I am so glad I obeyed God. I'm glad I didn't quit all those years obeying God. And then as the trees and the mountains began to disappear beneath the waters, he probably says, I am glad I didn't listen to everybody around me. I'm glad I didn't listen to my own human nature. I'm glad I didn't hear the critics and the naysayers. I just stayed the course. And then after all signs of life were gone, they'd all been washed away except for those that were on the ark. and land was nowhere to be in sight, Noah very well could have said, obedience is worth it. Obedience is now paying off in my life. Friends, I know doing the right thing is very difficult at times. And I'm aware that doing things that don't make sense, things that are considered weird by the world around us, that sometimes can cause us to question. It can kind of cause us to doubt and say, why are we doing this? But staying the course one day, well, it'll show up in everyday life, God's blessings, but one day when we step into the eternal realm, just as Noah put himself in the shelter of the ark to be secured, you and I are placing ourselves in the hand of God through Jesus Christ to be secured for everything that happens at the end, whether it be through the rapture and the last days, or whether it just simply be going across the threshold of death, which each and every one of us will at some day. And we'll never look back and say, I wish I hadn't obeyed. I'm going to ask you to stand, okay, folks? How about you this morning?